Leviticus chapter 5. If anyone sins in that he hears a legal call to testify, being a witness, whether he has seen or known, if he doesn't speak, then he shall bear his iniquity. That is, he shall be punished. He shall be judged for that sin. So if you know something that you have to testify about, but you don't, well, that's a sin. You could say it is a sin of omission. And here these ancient laws speak directly to us today, because I would guess that for people like you and me, most of the sins we commit are sins of omission. It's not that we strengthen ourselves and harden ourselves and say, I shall go out and commit a sin now and I don't care. No, I don't think hopefully we are like that, but it's more sins of omission. That the old lady slipped on the ice and fell over, and well, I was rushing. I had to go and pick the children up. I had to get home from school on time. I had to get here to my place of work, or I had to get there. It's those kinds of sins which we tend to commit and come home at the end of the day and think, oh, what did I do wrong? Well, I didn't steal, I didn't cuss, I didn't whatever. Maybe you didn't, but what did you omit to do? If anyone touches an unclean thing, like the carcass of an unclean animal, and it's hidden from him and he's unclean, then he shall be guilty. Or if he touches an unclean person and it's hidden from him, when he knows of it, then he shall be guilty. So you might not realize that somebody was unclean, but if you touched them, then you were actually, before God, guilty. Even if it's hidden from you and you don't know that they're unclean. This is similar to what we read in the last chapter, chapter 4, about sins of ignorance. That one was still guilty for sins of ignorance and had to offer a sacrifice. And when you realized it, verse 5, he shall confess that in which he has sinned, and he shall bring his trespass offering to Yahweh for his sin which he has sinned. Keeps emphasizing his sin which he has sinned, even though it was done innocently and in ignorance. And the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin. Keeps emphasizing that it really is a sin. It's like if I accidentally stand on your foot, I didn't intend to, but I did, and I really hurt you. Well, I can't say, well, that's your problem. I stood on your foot unintentionally. I didn't mean to. Look, I hurt you. I need to say sorry. I need to try to put it right. And I think this really does humble us. Now, one of the outcomes of this is that we should want God to reveal his word to us. This is why David says, you know, show me your way. Show me your laws. Reveal it to me. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to sin in ignorance. It's not like, oh, well, I know enough of God's requirements anyway, don't tell me any more. They aren't enough anyway to keep. No, that is not the right attitude, because if you love God, you don't want to hurt him. And if God is going to, as David says, cleanse me from my secret faults, if God is going to sort of accept us anyway, although we sin in ignorance, without repentance, because we don't realize we did it, well, I think we better be very generous to other people, because a lot of the sins against us that we feel so hurt by are often done in ignorance, that people don't quite realize the implications of what they're saying or doing. And we need to forgive them for that, even though they don't repent and don't realize it and don't get it, because we also sin and we don't get it, and we do so against God. So in this case, the man was to offer his sacrifice a female lamb or goat. If he can't afford a lamb, then he shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for the sin offering, the other for a burnt offering. So you see how God is really eager to meet with man. That sure, the ideal was to bring a young lamb or goat, but if you couldn't afford that, we'll bring two turtle doves. Or to young pigeons. Now, turtle doves are more expensive than pigeons because turtle doves weren't in Israel all round the year. they came, and you can see this from how the Bible talks about turtle doves in various places, they came just in summer, and so they were considered to be more valuable than pigeons who were around all the time. So God's giving them at least three different levels on which they can serve him. Bring me a young lamb or goat. If you can't, well, two turtle doves. If you can't, two young pigeons. So God's law was not all black and white. He wants to make accommodation to human weakness and to human situation. So don't just think, well, I can't serve God, I'm not wealthy. No, God doesn't need your wealth. The fact that we have these different levels on which we can serve God, as they did, I think if you love God, you're going to do your best to serve him on the highest level. If you had the money to, or the wealth or whatever, to bring a young lamb or young goat, you didn't think, yeah, well, I don't need to do that. I'll get away with two pigeons. Why not? The law of God says that. That would be a totally wrong attitude, wouldn't it? You give the best you can, but in the case when honestly you don't have it, God will accept a lower situation. But it goes further than that. If he can't afford two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he shall bring the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. So Paul says almost all things in the law are cleansed by the shedding of blood. And he's very smart when he says almost all, because he's obviously aware of this legislation, that without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness of sin. Because the idea was, you put your hand on the head of the animal, and that animal represented you. You killed it, and its blood was poured out, and that was like you, that I deserve to die. But okay, if you couldn't do that, okay, well, two turtle doves, can't get that, okay, two young pigeons. Okay, if you really can't do that, well, just some flour, which does not require any shedding of blood. God is not a legalist, he's not a literalist, saying, well, this is my requirement, if you can't make it, tough. What he wants is that even the very poorest people, who could not even catch a pigeon, okay, you can give a bit of flour, a tiny bit of flour. God was so eager that people should relate to him and have relationship with him. I think this legislation shows us for all time that God is the God of the poor. He built this in because he recognized that some people were going to be desperately poor or through old age or whatever, unable to even catch a pigeon and give it to him. And so he wants relationship with people regardless of their wealth. What he doesn't want is for the person who can afford it to say, well, yeah, I've got a young lamb or goat, but I'm not going to give that to God. I can get away with giving a bit of flour. The law says so. No, love God with all your heart. And if you love God, you'll be guided in what choice you make. Then further, if anyone commits a sin and sins unwittingly in the holy things of Yahweh, that is, breaks one of the laws regarding the offerings, then he shall bring his trespass offering, a ram without blemish, from the flock. And he shall make restitution for what he's done wrong in the holy things, and shall add a fifth part to it and give it to the priest. If anyone sins and does any of the things which Yahweh said not to be done, though he didn't know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. So it keeps on emphasizing that sins of ignorance are still sins. Do not think that God doesn't feel. God does. Because God is real. God has got actual emotion. And when we sin, we hurt God. And we need to put that right.